Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Yeager CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at YeagerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Yeager.
Welcome to CPA Review and More, all right? And I have more there because there's only so much you can talk about CPA Review, although a lot of the people I do interview, as I do today, he is a CPA. And interestingly enough, all right, I taught for a couple of years at the school that he graduated from, Bowie State University here in Bowie, Maryland, and his name is Jeff Wilson II. So there must be a first run, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, Jeff has a CPA. He's a PFS. What does the PFS stand for?
Personal Finance Specialist.
Okay. And he has you're a certified CFE. What is that? Certified Fraud Examiner?
Yep.
All right. And CGMA. All right. You didn't take that test, did you?
No.
It was called Right to Check, and you got the designation.
Yeah.
All right. And what's the CDFA?
Certified Divorce Financial Analyst.
Oh, you handle divorce cases?
That's the more of the CPA that we'll be talking about. That's where we're moving to.
And what's the name of your firm?
The W-2 Group.
Now, you're a partner?
I'm the owner.
You're the owner, okay?
Principal.
Well, I guess you're a partner, but not with anybody else.
Yeah. Right?
How long have you been the owner of that firm?
We're actually rolling on to year 9 now. With 2000.
Wow. Yeah, wow. You feel old?
I do. It's been painful some days.
Well, I happen to know someone, and you know the same person. Maybe he can discuss retiring with you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You say you help organizations meet their compliance and profitability goals through innovative accounting solutions. And you also said you actually leverage and point out innovative cloud-based accounting. So you're into cloud-based accounting?
All the way in, 100%.
All right. Now, for those who don't know what cloud-based accounting is, could you tell us, as a layman, what is cloud-based accounting?
So cloud-based accounting is very simple, but it's about using accounting systems that are internet application-based, meaning you can go to any of your accounting systems or anything related to accounting with a URL, right? That is much different from the traditional way that bookkeeping accounting was really set up, where you had to have something downloaded to your desktop computer and you could only access your information if you were in that specific room where you downloaded everything. That is much different. So we're using cloud technology so we can basically get access or provide access or to information from anywhere. As long as there's an internet, we can get you access.
Now, what happens if the sky is cloudy? Can you use your cloud-based accounting?
If the sky is cloudy, like it is now with all the snow in Washington, D.C., I can still get to what I need to do. I can still.
So it's basically a way of storing your data, right?
Yeah, it's a way of storing and a way of, kind of a bad word, but getting your information. And so being able to retrieve data from anywhere. And like, so good example, you don't want to, someone asks me, hey, you know, did we get paid last month? And maybe I'm at the grocery store, I stepped out for lunch. I can just easily tap on my phone and answer that question. I don't need to go back home and, you know, go look at paper statements and nothing like that. I can look right from my phone and tell you exactly what's going on.
Where are these cloud-based systems located? They're not in the clouds, obviously.
No.
Where are they located generally?
So generally, they're all going to be stored on the provider's server. And that's really the difference, right? You have these organizations with these mega servers that are housing and storing all of this data. And we can talk about later about why that's so powerful in the metrics standpoint. But so most of these, if you're into it, your data server on Intuit servers, if you mostly everywhere else is probably saved at Amazon server, AWS, a lot of these organizations. So they give you the ability to connect to their servers that are pretty much up 24/7. I mean, half the world is running on a AWS or a Microsoft server or Intuit server. So as a result, everywhere.
Now, you didn't learn about cloud accounting. You've been out of school, I think you said, how many years?
I've been out. Why you make me date myself, Phil? I don't know.
Well, you look about 25.
Well, I appreciate it. Okay. I'm out. This is hard to say. It's about 15 years now.
15 yeah. years. God. All right. They had debits and credits back then, didn't they?
I think so.
Okay. All right.
Flintstones was still on TV, too.
Yeah, that was a good show. For those who don't know who the Flintstones are, look it up on Google.
There you go.
All right. But anyway, all right. Obviously, you didn't take courses in cloud accounting at Bowie State University. All right. And you were an accounting major. All right. Where did you learn cloud accounting?
You know, Phil, just like everything else, you've really got to, you know, I don't think cloud accounting was even around back in 2006. That wasn't what we were taught on. We were still doing the paper debit and credits, the green paper, right? And so I got into cloud accounting in about, like I said, about 2011, 2014, when it was really coming out. And I will credit Intuit probably the best at, you know, providing a lot of training materials. We're hearing a lot about the cloud, but it wasn't really picking up early on. And just taking a lot of self-paced training and learning and really testing it out for myself, like I do with most things. And but I really into it provided me a lot of information about the cloud. And I think a couple of associations, Maryland Association CPAs, had a lot of stuff going on there. We've been on they were talking about blockchain back then.
And
I wasn't there yet. I'm still not there yet on blockchain, but that's where between those two areas is where I was like, hey, this cloud thing, I'll take my chances on this one.
Now, you had to actually teach yourself. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I had to self-teach myself.
All right.
Yeah.
And you're not the first person that has told me that.
Yeah.
All right. Because I've asked them, and they've only been out of school a couple of years, and I've asked them, in your curriculum, is there anything going out with cloud-based accounting? And the answer is no. All right. And
it's the most insane thing I've ever seen. Yeah.
Yeah. And you would think that, well, it will be on the CPA exam at some point. I would say in about 4 years. I don't know if you're aware, there's a CPA evolution. Have you seen anything about that?
Yeah, I was actually working with the Maryland Association of CPAs, and that was a project on the board that we were kind of providing input about the evolution of it and what areas it touched. So, yeah,
Tell the people what that CPA evolution is, and do you have some idea? Can you discuss
it? Yeah. So, you know, from a high base level, the structure of the exam is going to change, but it's really about the questions are going to change and the topics. And why is that? And the reason is because of some of the same things we're talking about. Cloud technology, blockchain, the way that we're doing accounting and data is just changing. So the world has moved past some of the basic things that you need to know as far as a CPA. And as a result, what the AICPA is trying to do is make the CPA fit what do people really need to know. So what you're going to have is a core exam. It's like, hey, this is the core basic CPA stuff. And then
Be on that core exam? What will be tested?
The core exam is still going to be your basic financial reporting. You know, you're still going to have the tax stuff, but so you're still going to have your basic audit, financial reporting, tax, right? That's the core.
Will it have an IT component?
Yes. So here's what happens, right? The IT component comes in to really talk about these things that are now changing. So you're going to see, I wasn't on any of the task force related to the testing, but my bet is the first part of that IT section is going to be cloud. Later on, it'll evolve probably to blockchain, and it'll, you know, kind of keep going from there.
And then artificial intelligence.
Intelligence, exactly, right? It's going to continue moving up, you know, going up that technology line. And that's because those things are really now a part of what our real world in accounting is, right? And so the students who are going to take that, we're preparing them for that, right? That's what at least the classes should be doing. And the exam is going to be testing. So we are making, still making a quality product. When I say we, us as an association, accountants, whatever you want to call us, a family, we have to make quality CPAs, right? And this ensures that we are putting out the best CPA product by having this CPA exam evolution going this way.
So once you pass the exam, all right, do you have to pick a specialization?
So this is where it gets interesting, right? You don't have to pick, the specialization actually comes in the testing, right? I think it's going to come in the testing, if I recall, because this is where we were providing the input. But so it's not, I don't think it's going to be after, and I think it's going to be before you take the exam, you pick your specialization. But the great thing about it is you're not going to have this, because we were having this conversation where we were slightly worried about, are you going to be CPA technology or CPA that? It won't, you'll just be a CPA, but you get to pick a specialization, which will probably, the last briefing on it, it'll probably have an effect on the questions that you're going to probably get to and how your exam is going to flow through based on if you're tax or I can't remember all the specializations. One was business, right. Like, you know, like business, you know, like BEC, not BEC.
Business environment. Yeah.
Yeah. Business environment and concepts. Concept, you know. Yeah. I think that part is going to get really picked up as far as like business acumen. Right. I think that's one of the things. So, yeah.
Now, what are they doing with the experience requirement then? All right. Did they mention that at all? All right. After you pass the exam, what do you have to do to get your CPA license?
Well, you're still going to have your experience, you know, have another CPA sign off on your experience. I don't think that's going to change. I think they will, they won't may not like me saying it. I think we'll re-examine the whole credit hour thing at some point. I think the whole, what is it? I'm sorry, I'm getting old now.
The 150 hours.
Yeah. I think we'll go back and re-examine that 150, whether anybody wants to really say it out loud, I think that'll end up, you know, kind of coming back. I never saw the value in it, and I think.
Well, you know, that was actually, the story on the 150 hours was one of the professors at the University of Maryland lobbied the people in the legislature, state of Maryland, to get the 150 hours in Maryland. Wow. And the reason that person lobbied for that is they were starting a master's program in accounting. So they figured if they required 5 years, now they'd get all these people into that new master's program. Except that, all right, what it did is it reduced the number of people majoring in accounting. All right.
Yep.
So it sort of, you know, was a, you know, it really hit University of Maryland by surprise. They didn't fill up this course, the master's in accounting. All right. The profession started where accountants said, hey, I'm not going for a fifth year, all right, to be a CPA. I can major in finance, all right, and go 4 years. And actually, the starting salaries in finance were higher. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So, in fact, that thing has really caused the shortage. There's a terrible shortage, as you know.
Yeah, we got pipeline issues, and that's one of the reasons.
Yeah.
I'll say this, though. So I had to have the 150, but I don't think that we do a good job of explaining other ways around the 150. Like, for example, I did not go for a fifth year, but I used my internship to get the credits. I just paid for the credits, right? I worked at a small firm, I call it like work study, right? And so I worked at Bond Beebe. In Bethesda, Maryland, and yeah, I think they got purchased or they merged with another firm lately. But I worked there, and I used that my time there as my internship for the other credits, and then I just paid for the credits. So I ended up my bachelor's, and so I think that there are other ways around. Like I don't hear a lot of people really talking about, hey, go see if you can just do a work study, do an internship, KPMG for the summer, and then basically enroll for the summer, get the credits, and then forget the whole fifth year.
Yeah, you see, now they just go on for a master's degree.
Yeah, now they just, because they sign you up for the master's program right up front.
Right,
and then
right.
You're in there, right? Versus I was just like, yeah, I'm going to get my CPA, but I'm not going for another. Because some people, then they don't even finish their master's. They're just like, I'm just going to get 150. And yeah.
Well, in Florida, when they came out with 150 hours, all right, people at the University of Miami in Coral Gables, all right, they got their extra credits by taking basket weaving, all these ridiculous courses. Now, of course, I know myself being in this field, I have been asked to do a lot of basket weaving, right? And because I did not, well, I didn't have to get 150 hours, all right? I got in before that. But yeah, this basket weaving, they took that. I mean, it's crazy. You know, skiing, you know, water skiing, it's, right?
You know, it just caused a bunch of useless time, right? I just don't think that it was like...
But, you know, in order to reverse that out now, okay, you would need every legislature of every state to agree to eliminate the extra credits, all right? And they went through a lot. All the state boards really had to lobby the legislatures to get the 150 hours in. So now, all right, they feel funny going back to the legislature and say, oh, we made a mistake.
Yeah.
All right. So
somebody's going to have to carry that water, but somebody at the Institute is probably, they may not know it. That's their job. They're going to have to go.
You want to know something? If you ask them why there's a shortage of accountants, okay? All right. I'm a member of these accredited course providers. We met with the ICPA twice a year in person, but our last couple of years, we've been doing it on a Zoom call. The head of examinations, his name is Michael Decker. He always asks the providers, you know, we've had a decline in the past 10 years of like half of the number of people taking the CPA exam. Does anybody have any ideas? All right. Well, when you bring up an idea, for example, all right, we got to get rid of the 150 hours. All right. What does he say? Won't work. All right. Can't do that. All right. Then we say, well, you know what's killing it also? You have to work under an accountant or for an accounting firm for at least a year. Now, do you know who that's keeping out of the profession now? All right. Bond and BB, all right, deals with a lot of not-for-profits.
Yep.
Okay. And also, when we were running the review course before the 1 year under an accountant, they only said you have to work a year in accounting. All right. We got a lot of people from the different government agencies, like Defense Contract Audit Agency.
Yeah, DCAA. Right? Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't see that many people from the federal government taking the CPA exam now because in the government, there is no one. There's not a lot of people who have the CPA, and you will sign off about your work. So these people have a lot of trouble, all right, getting the license once they pass the exam, all right? So I said, well, let's get rid of the one-year requirement under a CPA, all right? Well, someone at the ICPA says, you know, the CPA is a license to practice public accounting, all right? Well, when I took the exam and Joe took the exam, the CPA was not a license to practice public accounting. It was just a certificate, all right, that you had passed all of these different areas in accounting and you had an excellent knowledge of it. They never mentioned it was a license, all right? Now, who wants, a lot of people don't want to go into public accounting.
Yeah, right? True. That's very true.
And you know why? You can tell us why. Why don't they like to go into public accounting?
It's a public accounting is a tough place, you know, I mean, especially if you're talking like the big four firms, you know, I work at a big four firm, like you're going, it is not, and I have a conversation with my friends about this, tech friend of mine. It's not a desirable place sometimes when you're just going to get work hellaciously a bunch of hours and then it's just not what people want to do. Like, you know, I don't want to work weekends every weekend for the next 2-3 years in order for somebody to say I'm finally worthy of becoming a senior. Get work more hellaciously, and you know, so it's not to say I'm worthy to get work some more. So sometimes it's not really there. I know they're trying to change that culture, but just the culture of public accounting is kind of tough, you know. You know,
there's no quality of life.
And what we have to, as like I said, as accountants, we have to also understand that like things are changing. People, these younger generations want some type of quality of life, and if we continue making
how dare they want some quality of life?
Yeah,
right.
And then there you go, right? And then if you like, I know when I was working, if I had told them that, like, oh, you need to go find you a new place. The nerve of you to want a life, you want to hang with your wife? No, you don't get to do that. So I think we have to understand and we have to be flexible and change that. And until we, so there's a lot of issues with that pipeline. It's the one fit, it's the 150, it's the exam, it's the
hours they work.
Hours worked, right? You know, having to do all of those things. And then what does the CPA do for you outside of public accounting, which I think is where the CGMA is coming in at. But that's the thing, like the CPA in the federal government, it means nothing. Like, not many people are valuing it. They say, hey, we love a CPA, but it's not valued and they're not pushing it. And like you said, if you even pass the exam, you got to find, can you even work a side job under a CPA to get them to sign on it if the government won't even let you? So there's a lot of things we have to address.
Yeah, the experience requirement has to be. Now, maybe with this new format, which will go into effect in 4 years, when you pass the exam, all right, could you get your experience under the specialization you want? In other words, if I want to go into information technology, all right, can I get experience in information technology without having a CPA sign off? All right. They didn't talk about that, did they?
Yeah, no, I know. I that's a good point. I don't think they're going to do that, though, because I'm sort of partial on the CPA. I mean, I guess I understand the thought of it. It's like, hey, one practicing CPA who's seen your work is willing to sign off to say this is your, you know, he's good. The question then becomes, I've never met a person that I've never worked under a CPA who I thought they like, hey, would you mind signing off on my license? And they're like, no. So I don't think anyone is very validating.
You want to know why? It says under penalties of perjury.
Like, hey, you sign off? No, I can't do that. Like, I don't think so. So I think we do. That's a funny one. I got a good look at that one. Like, hey, I had a manager. I actually had a senior manager who didn't. It's a funny story. When I was in the Big Four, his performance review was that I wasn't technical enough, right? Which is funny for a guy with like 7 licenses. But, and then, so I had my manager who worked on it, she signed off. And I was asking myself one day, I was like, man, if this guy was responsible for signing off on my license, like, and we had diversity issues. Like, I just think we had cultural clashes, right? That he just couldn't relate to me. I would have been upset. I don't think I would have asked him to sign. I think I probably would have waited. And like, I got to have somebody else sign off because it was just that.
You know, we all took the exam years ago. Did you take it at the Civic Center in Baltimore?
No. I took it. Remember, when I'm taking it. I heard about the Civic Center in Baltimore. Everybody all in one lunchroom, on the seats. Yeah, no.
No,
mine at ProMetric. ProMetric error.
All right. So you're saying something funny? Is that the end of the joke?
No, that's just it. Yeah, that was okay. Yeah.
No, I remember we went to the book. This is when you had to take all four parts.
Yeah.
And we went to the Baltimore Civic Center. All right. And every time we were there, in the spring, because that was the May exam, all right, they had the circus in town. So on the bottom, there was two floors. The top was where they put us for the exam. The bottom was where the main auditorium was, all right? So you hear these elephants and go, and also the smell of the place, you could smell the,
The elephant.
They haven't really house trained the elephants. Yeah. So it was really, but you know what? It was fun. I remember we stayed at a hotel in Baltimore. All right. And I took a course that had over 400 people, review course. And I knew a lot of the people at the hotel. So we went out for dinner, that type of thing. But it was just a nice thing where, we could meet and see each other.
Good place with camaraderie. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Now, you can't get that at ProMetrics, right?
Nah, it's okay. ProMetrics is a little bit more daunting. Like, it gives an atmosphere of calamity when you're walking into the exam now, right? You're going in there, they're giving you all these restrictions, take off your watch, take off your belt, put this in there. And, you know, we only
they want you to take off your belt. What happens if your pants fall down?
Yeah. You have a digital belt? That's not going to work. Put your phone up. You know, so it has a little bit more calamity to it now. So you, it's like going through an airport check-in. And so it's a little.
It actually sounds worse than a check-in. All right. What do they think? You're going to have all the pronouncements on your belt?
Yeah. It's just like, hey, take it all. Give it
me. Good. There
and I'm a watch guy. So I'm always like, oh, I really want my watch.
Well, they give you that time bomb clock, you know, four hours and, a, you know, right in front of you. Isn't it right in front of you on the screen?
Yeah. It's still there. Yeah.
That to me is a distraction. Yeah. Right. You're sweating your way through those large problems, and you're looking at a clock timing you down.
Ticking you down, yeah.
It's like you're waiting for a bomb to go off.
I learned through the exam that half of it was mental. Like after a while, I figured out that half of it is just a mental play of like, you know, just don't, the calamity of it. I've always, when I'm trying to mentor somebody, I tell people about the exam is just, I know it's a big deal, but try not to think of it as a big deal. Try to think of it just like any other exam. You just go in, don't look at the clock, just do what you need to do, have some theme music before you go in, and then just...
Have some theme music before
you... gotta have some theme music.
Well, what did you play before you went in?
What did I used to play? Oh, man. It was some Jay-Z song, I can't remember, but that's like... That's why I'm serious. That was like, hey, when I go into the exam, I'm like, and I play it on the ride there, right before I walk in. And what I'm trying to do is keep the music in my head, even as I'm in the exam. And I'm just still listening to that song while I'm selecting my answers. And so just to get that, not pay attention to all this calamity and just
it relaxed you. It relaxed.
Yeah, just relax. And so, you know, you get your hype music, and I try to just, as long as I'm staying hype while I'm playing, doing the exam, you know, it never feels so stressful, right? So you got to kind of figure ways, like kind of bring the stress down from it. Because
it's very passable, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's exactly right. It's very passable. So, but that's the whole point. It's the exam itself is very passable. I think a lot of times we mentally take ourselves out of the game. So I've been coaching people and just, hey, find a way to just keep yourself in the game, make it a laughable manner, and, you know, keep it down a bit.
Thank you so much for listening to Yeager CPA Review and More. As a token for our appreciation for your listenership, we'd like to offer you 10% off your next purchase with Yeager CPA Review. Save between $50 to $150 with code PODCAST10. If you'd like more information, look us up on JaegerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.